We're right. Righto, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you all to the ordinary meeting of the Lachlan Shire Council on the 26th of February 2025. And welcome back for our first meeting to the Lachlan Shire for 2025. And I think with the amount of training we've had in the last month and that sort of thing, we'll be going along nice and smoothly, especially with the meeting practices, the meeting procedures and that sort of thing. So hopefully we remember all that so we can make it all happen. But before I go any further, we've got a lady down the back there, a new member of our staff, and Lorena Blacklock. If you'd like to stand up, Lorena, so we can... And very, very well. And Lorena is our manager of town planning. And she's had a lot of experience in town planning, from what I can gather. She's from, Queanbeyan Palawax. So she's done a lot, and she's enjoying being here and that sort of thing. And I think Patrick is very pleased, and she's very pleased with what's happening in there and that sort of thing. And I welcome you to the Lachlan Shire. I hope you have longevity with us. And if you, I don't know whether you've... You'll catch up with most of these people as we go around, but welcome to Lachlan Shire and good luck. Pleasure. All right, and just another thing, and welcome to the people in the gallery. So we've got people speaking today. And also, you would have found on your table today the new badges. You like the new badges? It's just a little memento of you being a member of the Lachlan Shire, because it's got its new emblem on it. And that sort of thing too, and I think they're very, very nice. And I thank Cherise. She was the artistic director of all that, and told everybody how to go about it, which was good. And I hope you enjoy that. So wear that with pride, and so we can make sure that people know that Lachlan Shire is out there. What else we got? I just wanted to mention too that Greg and I we're off to Orange and Oberon tonight, We'd like to think we can work our way into this council meeting in a real good manner. We better get on with it, do you reckon? All right. Well, first of all, webcasting, please note that today's meeting, other than confidential sessions, have been recorded and will be placed on council's website. All in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Council takes all care when maintaining privacy. However, members of the public gallery and those addressing council should be aware that you may be recorded. And now I'd like to ask Councillor Harris if he would like to give us our acknowledgement of country to elders. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Lachlan Shire acknowledges the Wiradjuri people as the traditional custodians of this land. We recognise their strength and resilience and pay respect to elders past, present and emerging, and to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are part of the Lachlan Shire community.
Thank you, Councillor. All right, now moving along to apologies and requests for leave of absence. Councillor Whiten is the only apology we got. Since you requested leave of absence, so would someone like to move it that way?
So moved.
Paul, Councillor Phillips and Councillor Rees, all those in favour? Those against? That is carried. All right, now the confirmations of the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on the 11th of December 2024. Would someone like to move that they're a true and correct recording of that particular meeting? Thank you, Councillor Harris. Councillor Mortimer, seconded. If there's no questions, all those in favour? That is carried. Now we go to page 19. I think I'm right. Yep, page 19. Merrill Minute, meetings and functions. Would someone like to move that Councillor Harris, second Councillor Turner. And just note there too that not only the Mayor has got the items where they've been, but also the Deputy Mayor over the page, the meetings that she has been on. And thank her very much for her support. So if there's any questions on that, on those meetings and whatever. If not, all those in favour? Those against, that is carried. Right now to page 21, 5.2, Mayoral Minute, Acting General Manager, April and May 2025. Could someone like to... Councillor Harris, second Councillor Mortimer. So is there any questions on the arrangements there for Alan Stoneham to become the general manager while Greg is on leave as acting general manager. I think he's well known to us and that sort of thing, so he should fill the void very well. If there's no questions, not all those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. All right, now we'll work into public forum. And Patricia Hurley was coming, but she is an apology today. And but Mr. Philip Darius, he's from Lake Angelico. He would like to come, and we're. So we just go to the. Thanks, Philip, for coming in, and we'll give you 5 minutes. And I see you've got the screen time and that sort of thing, and a few questions at the end, maybe from the councillors, and we'll see how we go.
Sure.
From here.
All right.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, hello, everyone, and thank you very much for this opportunity. Just a little bit about myself. I immigrated here in 99 and started a business in Lake Angelico, Regal Electro, and then we changed the name to Valent Power. Currently, I own a shed in Lake and employ my son and a few residents, but both here and elsewhere. We originally started selling batteries, but now we do power systems, namely standalone power systems, and sell to the likes of Essential Energy, Queensland Rail, etc. Lake persons would acknowledge that both my previous residence and my current business premises are all well maintained. I'm also a director of a community fund, raising and charity profits to charity operations both here and well-known RRT. A year ago, I completed building my new house in Lake Angelico. There was a bit of an ugly block, as those would know. And as you can see, I've invested above average amounts in the property, including the garden, topsoil, fertilizer, irrigation. If I included my time and total cost, probably somewhere around $40,000 for both front and rear. In my approach to council for assistance was because I expected council would have had excess topsoil for my normal operations, but they didn't, so I had to give that a miss. So that's the front, and that's one of my properties I used to have. That's one of the trees. There's some of the trees we planted. I think keep scrolling there, yes, please. That's my previous house, and thank you, the council gave us those trees, and you can see we kept the nature strip that was the previous house. And this is my previous business premises. As again, you can see we've been quite prolific in planting trees around the place. And now we come to my request. If we could just stop on that one. I think you've got, is the order wrong? Can you go back a bit? Keep going back. No, more back. More. No more. Okay. So that's the front of my premises, and the plants don't show up too well, but we've been doing things to conserve water, but yet make it presentable, and you see there's a lot of river stone. And then just go back one more. And that's the other side of the other nature strip. We also try to make it water friendly, so it doesn't take a lot of water. But you saw the front of the property. We're trying to make it very pretty. And so may I say that just in this area is 170 square meters, the green on the left. And everybody likes green lawn, so that's why we made the front in green lawn. So if you go to the actual house picture, which is, I think, the next one, that one. So to maintain this property like this, it's a corner property, it's directly opposite the lake. And my wife was saying to me today that every day tourists come past here, and so it makes an impression. I may also say we have visitors from national visitors, international visitors come and visit us, and that's why we try and keep a nice looking property. This brings us to the questions. The cost of water to keep this all green is pretty expensive. And our desire to keep it like this, attractive and beautify this part of the town. And then I think the next part, Jerry, Next slide. Well, I don't know how they got so mixed up. Keep going. And that's my back of my property. That's a slide number 000 at the end. Okay, so this is where this is the lake, looking at the lake, and you'll see that's the shed that's there existing at the moment. And then just another slide further. Okay, now if we walk away from that shed, 25 meters, that's what it looks like. And you can see if you look closely, can I go to the...
My intended comp, thank you, I keep scrolling up, so that will still show you. You'll see that just over here, a small area, I'll be hoping to put a little site, small box, meter by meter, and put a pump into it. And right next to it, keep scrolling please, Terry. Terry? Taking it to the next picture. I've got a friendly dog as well. I've actually got a picture there showing this, giving you a context of the size. Sorry, the next picture, please, sorry. Okay, so there you are. That's the size, that's close up. You can see the back of this park is pretty wild. There's nothing really going on. That's a meter, and that's the size of what it will be. But if you go, if you scroll back, you can see I've got that on the previous picture, and you can call it. It's there. This is it, yeah. Okay. And that's standing from 10 meters away, so from the center of the farm. That's the site, that's about what's going to look like, as opposed to the existing shed on the site. So that's what I'm proposing.
So, now, the advantages to council, obviously, is I'm going to have a nice... I want to keep that corner attractive, for visitors and tourists. Obviously, using raw water is going to reduce the amount of draw on the filtering apparatus. And the water that normally would have evaporated is going to come on my property. Some of it's going to evaporate from mine or run off. So I don't know if that's any consideration. Financial consideration. I'm not asking the council for any money for this. I've done it all, and I'll finance it all myself. The pipeline is already in place there, right next door to that shed. So I don't need to do any earthworks or anything. I just need to put a pump on. There is a pipe that runs from there, from that shed, right into the back of my property. And we've tested it, and it works. If there's any problem with this pipe, I've got sufficient means myself to repair it. So my request to council is to permit me to have that little shed there. It's not going to be a shed, it's going to be a little box, basically. Provide me permission or a license to put that little site. It will be unobtrusive. It will be neat and done with good materials. If the council can't grant me the permission to do this, if they would show me a way that I can do something to access that water, please. And thank you very much.
Thanks, Philip. I'll just ask if councillors would like to ask a couple of questions.
No, I'm well aware of what Philip was saying. Drive past it every day,
John. Yep, no problem. Judy? Robin?
Can I just ask, what was that pipe originally? Who used it, or what was the gallery?
There was some of the local residents had been using it, and they found it too much trouble to carry on at the maintenance.
Do you have any idea?
Somewhere, I'm guessing 50 to 60 years.
Is there two pipes going out of that shed, or just the one pipe you're talking about?
Okay, so the people that are using that shed, they've got, two pipes come in and two pipes go out to there. And then I've got a pipe, and there was an existing... All right, so there's a pump that... The people that owned the previous system said you can have the pipe, or you can have the pump, and there's a pump in that shed that I'm not allowed to access, but the pipe work is outside, and I can access the pipes.
So is that pipe registered with New South Wales
I think it's been before the, all the red tape of the registration came up.
Yep.
It was done then.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So if you can't get water from the lake, how do you water your lawn at the moment? Just with...
Just the town water.
Town water?
You know, my option is to sink a bore, maybe.
All right. Any other further questions? I think that's all, Philip, and thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And doing your presentation, and we'll be dealing with that through the as we go through the council meeting.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens from there.
Again, thank you very much. Thanks for your time, people.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen and ladies, has anyone got any disclosures of interest in this particular meeting? Not today. It's good. Right, any disclosures? No disclosures? Right, so we'll move along to page 24, read and note, and I have from 8.1 to 8.11. So is there any items in that particular run that, what would you like, madam?
8.1, I'd like to ask a question, please.
So we'll move it.
Sorry.
Right, who wants to move for 8.1? Melissa Blewett, second up.
Second
up. I'm Melissa Rees. All right.
Question.
On
my page 30, I'm just going to give an example. It says SR34 Woolmartha Road, 2 kilometres, 77,000 is the budget. Expended date is 103. Forecast spend is 77K. It says complete gravel not yet costed to project. I don't understand what that means. Can someone just give me an explanation? Sorry.
Karen, I think, might be able to give you something to do with money. Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor, and through the Mayor. Yes, basically what he's saying in that report is that the gravel costings are normally done, you know, once every 3 to 6 months. And given we've had the bit of delay with things, with change, staff changeover and that, those journals are only just starting to be done now. So that's all he means, is that the cost of the gravels that we've taken from the pits and things haven't been reflected on the job.
I was going to say, so that means the cost could go up from, well, it's already gone up from the original, but obviously this could add to the cost as well. Thank you.
All right, that's 8.1. Is there any other, how about 8.2 to 8.? I'll just put 8.1 there. I'm just going to put all those in favour. Those against, those carried. All right, what do you want, Councillor Harris? You're talking about...
8.2, active resolutions.
Right, can someone like to move that 8.2? Melissa Blewett, seconder, Councillor Phillips, all those in favour?
Yep.
8.2, question, Councillor Harris?
Page 17. Sorry, I've just come trying to grab it at the moment. It's to do with the Tottenham and what's happening there. My question with it, I was just wondering where we're situated with further any development or future development maybe of industrial land around Tottenham.
Patrick.
Thank you. Through the Chair, we are investigating that area in quite some detail. So we have received some feedback from the Department of Planning, Housing and Infrastructure, and we need to do some more research before we can land on some proposal that we can bring back to Council. And before we do that, we will also do some very detailed community consultation in that area, which would include future industrial land as well as other uses.
Because we've already done some investigation.
Yes.
Actually, there is industrial land, but it's on private property.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I've had a couple of inquiries about that side of things, and I remember in previous council, there was an approach about maybe trying to use part of the airport there.
Delta Ag was looking for
an industrial site. And I think that sort of pressure is still there, so I just wanted to be assured that we are, have been looking at it, because it's another very important, apart from obviously here in Condable and Lake Angelico, it's a very important facet of going forward for us.
Patrick, you want to go any further?
Absolutely, councillor. Can only support that.
General manager might give you a comment.
And I'll be guided and take Patrick's advice on this. The issue with the airport site for that purpose is that it's not supported by a rural industrial land use strategy, because there is other appropriately zoned land that is vacant if it comes to the market that can be used. So Department of Planning would be reluctant to support a planning proposal to rezone the airport land for industrial use when it's disconnected from the village proper and other land being available. The other point is that the whole village is village zone, so any land within the village zone is entitled to be used for industrial or commercial purposes. It's just the pricing for the market needs to meet the demand, and at the moment there's a disconnect between what people are prepared to pay or what their expectations are for some of those lots that people might be interested in selling for the right price.
Yeah, I think that might answer your question about the village. Mm. All right. Anything else all those in favour? Those against, those carried. So now we're back to 8.3 to 8.11. Is there any further? Right, so righto, 8.3 to 8.10. All those in favour? Mover and seconder for a start. Mover? Councillor Harris, Councillor Blewett. All those in favour?
Yep.
Those against? Right, mover for 8.11. Councillor Rees, seconder. Councillor Blewett. Right, question, Councillor Rees.
I think our tourism staff are doing a wonderful job in Condo Lake, all around. I did notice some publicity recently around an interactive map of rest areas through the Service New South Wales app and website. You can get them on Google Maps. We were given highly commended for our amazing rest area last year in Condo that we spent a significant amount of money on. And there is not a single rest area for light vehicles or heavy vehicles listed on the Condo map. So nothing comes up when you search Condoblin, when you go into it, or any of those things. So the only rest areas that are appearing in that area are, I think, along the Thomas McGrain Way, whatever that is out that way, West Wylong Road, but further towards Ungerry. Like, there's legitimately nothing showing on that map for toilets, truck stops, car stops, availability for food for Condo, or lake or anywhere like that. Just wondering if we can, I don't know if it's the tourism portfolio or if someone can make representation to Service New South Wales, Transport New South Wales, to get us on the map.
I'll get the General Manager who might answer this one for you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. We'll make inquiries and get us added. It's not any particular individual, but I'll talk to Robin and possibly Adrian and see what we can do.
We're all about town.
At least you brought it up. That's the main thing. Good stuff. Thanks, Rod. All those in favour? Those against? That is carried. Right, that's the reading note. Point 9 to 9 is decisions. And now we go to page 74, General Manager Community Engagement Strategy 24-22-28. Would someone like to move that, please? Councillor Harris, second up. Councillor Phillips. All right. Any questions or any dissent? You happy? Yeah. As written. Right. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. Right, page 77, review of organisation structure. Someone like to move the recommendation? Councillor Harris, Councillor Phillips. All right, any dissent or any questions, or would the General Manager like to expand?
Happy to take it as read. I can comment if you'd like me to.
Anyone? All happy? No. All right, all those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That's why we write it down. Those against? It's carried. Righto, page 80, 9.1.3, classification of land property purchased at 106 Orange Street, Condobolin. Councillor Harris moved the recommendation, seconded Councillor Turner. If there's any dissent at all. All right, all those in favour? Those against? That is carried. Right, page 83, thank you to the General Manager, now the Corporate and Community Services, Karen. 9.2.1, draft payment of expenses and provisions of facilities for councillors and its policy. Would someone like to move a recommendation? Councillor Harris, seconded. Councillor. No, Judy Bartholomew.
I went around with.
She had the hand up behind your head. any dissent? No. All those in favour? Those against? That is carried. Right, page 86, 9.2.2, draft amendments to adopted fees and charges 24-25 for public exhibition. The recommendation is moved. Councillor Harris, seconder. Councillor Mortimer. Any dissent? If not, all those in favour? Those against? Dennis.
It don't matter now.
No. I've been going to say, welcome to Dennis. We didn't want you in as an apology. We knew you were there, but that's the first time we've seen your face.
well, sorry. I was trying to ask Philip some questions, but I couldn't get on.
Righto. You're on now. That's the main thing. Righto. Next one. Page 90, 9.2.3, Investment Policy Annual Review. Someone like to move a recommendation? Councillor Harris, seconder. Councillor Mortimer. Any dissent? If not, all those in favour? Those against? That is carried. Right, page 93, 9.2.4, Community Donations Event Support Program. Would someone like to move the recommendation, please? Councillor Harris. Okay, Councillor Phillips, and seconder Councillor Turner. Any dissent or
question?
Right, I'll allow a question.
Sorry, it's not actually to do. I don't know where else to bring it up, so I'm going to bring it up here. I believe that Tullabudgee can no longer hold their ANZAC ceremony this year due to not being able to afford the fee associated with insurance. So I'm wondering, as a council, is there anything that we can do to help them facilitate holding their ANZAC ceremony?
Would you like to answer that?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Short of council providing a donation, there's probably not a lot else we could do. We'd still need their coordination and volunteers to actually stage and run the event. We wouldn't have the capacity on staff to take over the arrangement and running. And they haven't made a donation request for funding at this stage.
I think that's what needs to happen. Karen, you want to say? Sorry.
Yeah, just through the Mayor, just to let you know as well that Council in its budget does have an allocation for each of the communities for their Australia Day event. So I would imagine they would know about that. It's for Anzac Day. I beg your pardon. Yeah, no, we don't help with that. So at the moment, anyway. Yep, thank you.
Follow-up question? Sorry, a follow-up question. Well, is there any way we can actually talk to the organisers at Tullabudgee and see which direction they may want to go? They may want to put in a donations request and we can then consider it and see if we can help them out.
I think they can. They can put it in. I'd say it'd be a good idea to put it in, but I just wonder, I'm just thinking about at Tottenham there, we use, the Welfare Council, we use their certificate of currency. I just wonder whether there's any other organisation down there.
I was just going to say, Councillor Turner, would you be able to raise that with the people that were organising it? And if they would are interested in running and applying for an event, we can take it forward.
We'll see if we can follow that up.
Conversation.
Well, the conversation will have to be had down there, so we'll see how we go from there. It would be a shame. All right. If any more questions, I think that was... all right. All those in favour? Those against? That is carried. Right, page 97, 9.2.5, draft project management policy. Would someone like to... recommendation? Oh, did I? Did I get rid of Talbot? That's what we just talked about, Talbot. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so, is there a thing on the races?
We did that first. Then we spoke about
the Anzac. It's all
The Anzac discussion was part of that report.
Yeah, part of that report. So the Tullabdil races was part of that kind form, etc.
Before you go anywhere, did you receive a request from Lower Lachlan for meet and greet at this stage? No. Thank you.
No. All right. For that particular donation support program, all those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. Righto, now 9.2.5 draft project management policy. Would someone like to move the recommendation of Councillor Harris? Councillor Mortimer, is there any dissent? No dissent. All those in favour? Those against? That is carried. Now page 99, 9.2.6 quarterly budget review 2025. So would someone like to move the recommendation? Councillor Phillips, second up. Councillor Turner. All right, any dissent or questions? Karen, would you like to push an item? Thank you.
Yeah, good afternoon, and through the Mayor. Yeah, just want to let you know, I do apologise for the lateness of the documents.
Oh, yeah.
Just one or two... things to sort out. Now, just to let Council know that the budget is satisfactory, expected to be satisfactory at 30 June, and our actual results for year-to-date are still looking okay. While we are in a deficit when it comes to our our operating profit or loss, that's predominantly due to the fact that we've received a lot of our grants money in the last financial year, not this year, but some of the money's being spent this year. So it's just a timing thing. So nothing to be concerned about there, but happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Cats?
A little bit more of an update on the electric vehicles, please, Karen. You got it down here, fleet overview.
Sorry?
You got it down here in background. I just want to know how the state of the electric vehicles are going. We're supposed to have one, haven't we? I'm not in the wrong page again, surely.
In page 99, quarterly
okay.
Budget.
No, I'm moving too fast again. Apologies.
We'll see if we can catch up here, mate.
Thank you, John. I'm in a hurry today. Thank you.
I don't know who's in a hurry.
My apologies.
Right, if there's no... You're right, Karen, you've got... You got through what you...
Sorry, Karen. We'll go back to coal in a minute or steam. So.
All right. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. Righto. Now, thanks, Karen. Looks like you've come to an end. Now, page 101, 9.3, Environment and Planning. First one, 9.3.1, Lachlan Shire Council, Zero Emissions Fleet Transfer. We're getting close, Paul. Plan 2025. Who'd like to move the recommendation, please?
I'll move.
Good. Thank you, Karen. And Councillor Harris and Councillor Phillips. All right, any dissent or any questions? You're right, you're happy now? No one wants to do any questions or whatever? Oh, righto. I'll hand
over. We've got one. I don't know whether we've got.
Well, we'll go to the man who's got the electric car.
Thank you very much,
gentlemen.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. We've got a couple of vehicles. We've got some hybrids in the fleet as well. I think there's three or four electric hybrid vehicles, but they're not plug-in hybrids. I'm driving a full electric vehicle. The running cost so far, and I've covered about 25,000 kilometres in it now. It's working out at about $5.60 per 100 kilometres, which equates to about 3 litres per 100 kilometres if you bring the cost back to dollar terms. The other thing with the vehicle is it's not due for service until it hits 160,000 kilometres, so there's some significant servicing cost savings. Not all electric vehicles are the same. Some, like the Kia, for instance, has a 20,000 kilometre service requirement. The range of the vehicle is about 400 kilometres. It depends how you drive it, and it actually gets better in urban areas or in a hilly environment, whereas on a flat environment you don't get regenerative braking. I haven't had any trouble whatsoever charging-wise. I've been able to find charging stations readily enough. We've got a charger down in the back car park that was predominantly funded by a grant from the federal government, and it's charged through the solar carport that we've got. Rowan did get a card attached to it, so we can track the costs of that electricity, even though it's not charging us anything to charge it. In that 25,000 kilometres, I've only had to wait at the charging station once, and it was no more than 5 or 10 minutes. The rest of the time, they've been available. There's more and more charging stations getting rolled out around the country all the time. There's a new Tesla charging station being put in parks, and you're possibly aware that we received grant funding to put in a double-head charger in Lake and Tottenham and also in Condobolin. And we provided a letter of support to a company who are running a trial with Essential Energy to have pole-mounted chargers, and we're looking at two or three locations around the Shire with that. It appears as though their program's going to get funding. So the test's going to be the resale when it comes time to replace it, and we'll need to probably get a report on the battery deterioration over the period, because from what I've read and what I've heard, the big thing on the resale value is the battery condition at trade time, and if it's less than 85 to 90%, then the trade price really drops off. But also I've seen return figures around that 85, 90% with vehicles over 150,000 kilometres on them. So that might be the optimum time. There's good subsidies available. The vehicle I'm driving cost council about $68,000 before GST. So it was comparable to a Ford Everest trend. The government's now got $5,000 rebates available on that while the money lasts. So there are real incentives. In addition to that, there's no fringe benefits tax payable for private use of the vehicle if they're provided to council employees. And as part of our fleet transition plan, we're looking at how we might be able to share that fringe benefits tax saving with employees to incentivise more staff to change over. Is that off the top of my head, if I covered it?
Quite satisfactory. I compliment you on your effort. Put a charging station in Lake Angelica. Good luck with that. We got that many brownouts, I don't know how you're going to go.
Yeah.
Well done. Right. Congratulations.
You get some charge. You can ask a question if you like. You put it on, we'll turn it off.
Sorry, forgive my ignorance if this is a silly question, but are we looking more to go for hybrids rather than fully electric when we're transitioning our fleet? And what is their capability on an unsealed road after rain? Like, is it just going to be for people who drive on sealed roads? Because I don't know how effective they would be for unsealed roads.
The fleet transition will be a combination, and it's not just being limited to electric vehicles. We also need to be looking at hydrogen fuel cell vehicles and other alternate fuel types. As far as use on a gravel road after rain, I haven't had any troubles with my vehicle on gravel roads, whether they be wet or dry, and I've taken it down several gravel roads, and actually because of the electric motor in it, it's got better traction performance than an internal combustion engine car, because the computer in it and the torque and power that's delivered to the electric motors is better controlled. So you don't get, you can't wheel spin, for instance. If I flatten my foot on the throttle of the electric vehicle, it will not break traction because it'll only deliver the power for the traction that's available. So
that's different.
Yeah.
That's good. All right.
And I haven't tried, by the way. But...
Dennis Brady, I think, wants a question. Dennis?
How much do you pay for your power when you aren't in condo for it? What's the price to fill it up, Greg?
If it's from grid energy, if I'm charging at home, for instance, it's about 32 cents a kilowatt. If it's at a Tesla charging station or an NRMA charging station, they're generally around 65 cents a kilowatt. And then, as I said, Rowan's charging me about 25 cents a kilowatt for the solar energy that we've got through the solar carport. That's just so the car's playing a return. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. Councillor Harris, you got a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It was something I hadn't thought about, and I've been very supportive of the concept of electric vehicles. But I noticed in the last few days there was a news item came up overseas, I think it was Europe or Scandinavia, where there's a city over there has all of a sudden found that their road network is deteriorating faster because of the uptake of electric vehicles. And I thought, that's strange. But anyway, further research actually shows that, which is something I wasn't aware of, electric vehicles are actually heavier than fossil fuel vehicles. So when you've got electric buses, electric trucks, electric cars, they're all heavier. Therefore putting more wear and tear on our roads. And it's apparently been quite noticeable overseas that this is starting to become a real problem for them with a dramatic uptake of electric vehicles. So that's going to be an issue. I don't know whether, I've never heard about it until just recently, whether it's ever come up in discussions here in Australia about the uptake of vehicles and what we're going to do about the effect on roads. But not only that, but it's also an increased wear on tyres because of the instantaneous torque that's delivered to the wheels. There's more wear on our tyres. There's probably a 20% increase in wear on tyres. So they're going to have, Michelin's already designed tyres to actually cope with this. But that's high tech. It's polyurethane in the tyres to help reduce noise. So there's a few issues there that I wasn't aware of, and I was quite surprised to hear about the effect on our roads. That was more just a comment than anything else. Thanks.
Thank you for the information, Councillor. I just like to make a comparison about the number of triple road trains that run around our area this time, how much weight you got there. But anyway, it's another thing. All right, any further questions? Dennis, you want another question?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Greg, how many kilowatts does it take to fill it up, to fill your, charge it up?
Can't answer that one, Dennis. I'll have to take it on notice.
Okay.
About 25 minutes.
Yeah, 25 minutes. That would depend where you are charging it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it depends where you're charging it, like the capacity of the charging station. It also depends on the level of charge in the battery when you start.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, it also depends on the air temperature at the time.
Yep. Okay. I'm just wondering how many kilowatts it'll take to charge
the,
it up.
The vehicle actually has an option in it to preheat the battery before you charge so that it charges at a faster rate.
Okay.
All right.
Right, thank you.
Paper wasp. All right, so it's been a very learning information that we caught up with electric cars. All right, all those in favour of that particular motion? Righto, now 9.2.
Sorry, I did have a disclaimer. disclosure of interest, but it was enclosed, and then I forgot I'm not meant to do that enclosed. I meant to do that at the start.
You're supposed to do it at the start.
Soz.
I do it.
I have a disclosure of interest for 17.2, non-pecuniary but significant.
Right. So just fill your form out and...
I filled the form out. Yeah. I was just waiting till close. That was my mistake. Apologies.
Thank you. Right, now page 104, 9.2.3, Waste Management Services, Bircher. Someone like to move the recommendation, please. Councillor Morton. Councillor Phillips. All right, any dissent? Councillor Mortimer.
I just have a quick question through you, Mr. Mayor. If we do close the pit, will you apply for funding and then close the pit, or how, in what order will it go? Do we have enough funding to close the pit and then provide a service and then hope that we get the funding? Just wanted to check with that.
Thanks, Councillor. Through the Mayor, the idea is to roll out the service of the domestic bins pretty much straight away. That can be done within the existing budget and within the technical limitations as there are now. So we can start that fairly quickly, almost separately from all the other issues. The intent is to indeed apply for the funding, so that closes on the 21st of March of this year, hence the motion before Council today. And the idea is to fund the majority of the closure and also the construction of a new transfer station through that EPA funding program, and basically transition that once the new services are in place, and then sort of run it almost in parallel to see how it goes. Yes.
Right. Question, is it? Yep, Councillor Blewett.
Sorry again if this is a silly question. If we're going to give the village residents service with the truck, like garbage collection, we're not going to close down the actual race transfer station straight away, are we? Because what happens with the rural residents? Like, where do they put their rubbish if that's closed straight away? Okay.
No, the idea is indeed to keep that open until we've got satisfactory services in place for all of the users.
Do you have a question, Councillor Brady?
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor. Patrick, did you go out and actually speak to the people out there and ask them and give them all these options, or are we just going on what was done with a survey in 2022-23?
I did go out there twice last week, and I had a chat to a couple of the residents there, also over the phone. It's the results from the community survey from 2023 are reflected and attached to the report and are extensively discussed in the report as well. So, yes, it is acknowledged that the report basically does not follow the majority as it was per that survey, but that is also because the situation at the facility has certainly deteriorated with the volumes that have been received, and hence this approach. There's certainly the intent to do some very significant community consultation on the location of the new transfer station. And that would be the next step.
So is it worth your while going, and are we having a public meeting, as I suggested, and call all the people so you can actually tell them what their alternative is?
That is certainly an option, yes.
Push.
All right. Yep, I think that might answer your question. And you've got your point across there, Dennis, too, I think. So we'll...
Robin's got a question. Mm-hmm. Robin had a question.
Yep. Robin, did you have a question too?
Your mine wife. Is also just a comment. I know that the residents did really want the gate locked and then the key option. But I also know from council's viewpoint, from legal reasons and the site, that the trenches can't be dug deeper. There's not the room or the capacity to extend that pit. So I understand where council stands for that very reason, not out of choice but out of necessity, especially with your EPA, especially with your rules and regulations and government laws that have to be abided by now. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. All right, if there's no further questions or no dissent, all those in favour? Those against, that is carried. And thank you, Patrick. Within our infrastructure services to 9.4.1, request for pump shed license, Apex Park, Lake of Jellico. Would someone like to move the recommendation, please?
I'll move it open up and discuss.
Thank you, Councillor Phillips. Thank you, Councillor Harris. All right, so is there questions or is there any dissent? Or page 113. You're right. You got a question now, mate?
No, I've got it up in front of me. Thank you, John.
So, Councillor Blewett, question?
Sorry, my question is, so I did ask the gentleman when he was here, so the pipe's actually separate to another pipe that's already in place, is that correct? That's coming out of the lake, yep. So it's an old pipe that's just been there for a long time, so it doesn't have a stock and domestic license attached to it. So is that what he would need to get that pipe up and running? So what is the process that he needs to do that?
Adrian, list them off, mate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Great point, Councillor. The process for Mr. Dyer is to actually turn his pump on is long and convoluted and requires many approvals, not just this one that is in the report today. This one in the report today is simply for Councillor to support the Crown Land Office to issue a licence for his pump shed. So separate to that, he would also require approval to works approval to install the pump from Water New South Wales. He would need an extraction licence from ENRA and a water allocation from Water New South Wales. He'd also require input from Essential Energy to actually get power to the site, and he should also obtain a lease from us to actually have the water pipeline within the road reserve. So there's many approvals required. The first hurdle we must get over is, does council want a pump in that location? And if so, then do we support the application for the Crown to issue the licence? All the other approvals will have to come later. But the report before you is just simply asking, does council want to continue to approve lots of pumps along the foreshore? Because there is, if we set a precedent under the new legislation to continue to approve pumps, then there'd be an obligation to continue to approve pump sheds all along the foreshore. So the recommendation in the report is actually to decline it.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question?
Yes. Go on, Dennis.
The previous person, did they have a licence? And if not, did they, were they able, as riparian rights, able to use that pump? Or how did they operate it before Philip bought it, if there was already a pump there and there was already pipes going to his property?
You right, Adrian?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'll try and provide an answer to this question based on the information given to me. Part of the difficulty in writing this report was the information provided was changing in nature, and it's a little bit of hearsay and handshake agreement, so to speak. So my understanding is that the existing pump shed has an allocation, it has an extraction rights, and it has a license and lease, and it is fully compliant. It's unclear, however, why Mr. Darius has been locked out of the shed, and it's unclear as to why, and there's no paperwork supporting any rights to the supposed pipeline or to a space in the pump shed operated by the so-called Bogan Street Pump Group. So the pipeline's been gifted to him, in Mr. Darius's words, and there's no paperwork or legal entitlement, or there's no proof that this pipeline has any approvals. Does that answer your question, Councillor?
How'd you go, Dennis? You're muted, are you? Still there, Dennis?
Can I speaking?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, Adrian, but he must have had the idea that he had a right to pump, or you know, it seems that there's a lot of things missing in this argument. And if, as you say, if you allow him to have a pump there, you're going to have to allow everyone in Lake Angelico to have a pump.
Because yeah. I think the biggest issue is all the other licences you've got to get to make it happen for a start, as to whether we want that approval to begin. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Dennis? Right, is there any another question? Come on. Lisa.
So just a question, like, how far is this? Does this pump, like, run up to his back fence line? Is that where the pipe runs to? Does it run straight up to his back area? Is that how he gets access to it?
Well, he hasn't got access at the moment.
And before he can go for any of those other approvals, is it correct that we have to today say, yes, we approve it before that can even happen? So if we say no today, then it's just a no to the pump in general. Is that right?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Again, part of the difficulty in writing this report was differing information. The map provided to us is included in the report of where the pipeline goes, and it does not go near Mr. Darius's block. However, his verbal report today was that the pipe runs to the back of his block. Again, I'm not sure what is true. I've been trying to piece together the correct information, and it's still coming together, the pieces of the puzzle. Again, just to repeat, this report is simply seeking council approval to endorse the Crown to issue a licence, so that he can install his pump location. All the other, this is not council issuing a lease, and then all the other approvals would follow. So it's still a long road before he can switch a pump on and legally extract water.
Councillor Harris, you've got a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Probably a couple of questions. I'm just wondering, I'd be interested to hear from the Lake Angelico councillors of their thoughts on the matter. I am certainly concerned about the precedent that might create, but then I'm also thinking, well, why can't he put in a underground pump site below ground level, hidden away? That's not a potential eyesore. I'm sure there's ways that could be addressed to take that out of the equation. I'd be concerned about the long who's going to be responsible for the long term upkeep of the pipeline, as long as that doesn't fall back onto council. There'd want to be some sort of contractual agreement to make sure that was not the case, that Mr. Darius was going to be responsible for the entire pipeline, pump, etc., etc. And I just feel that to a certain extent that, you know, as we're saying, a long road ahead anyway. I can understand his point about trying to get untreated water and not having to pay for potable water to keep the lawns and the gardens going. I can certainly understand that. So it's a difficult situation. But I would be interested to hear from the Lake Angelico councillors if they're willing to let us know about what they think about the proposal. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
I just ask the general managers to make comment for a start.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to make the point that council operates a potable water supply, distributes it through the town, which people can use for irrigation. I understand the concerns about the cost of the water, but this will do nothing to improve the financial sustainability of our water supply. A rural water distribution network with no income to council for the occupation of the Crown land, no recurrent income for the water allocation or the water usage, it's only going to further reduce the amount of potable water that we sell in Lake Angelico and increase the costs for other water users.
You want to make comment at all? No. Question? I don't want to point your finger at you, but
I can only
Sorry?
Yeah,
he's on. I can only basically back what Adrian's remarks were. It is complicated. There's three pipelines there. One belonged to the initial guy that put that on. He was the manager of State Water. So there's no question in my mind that would have to be registered somewhere along the line. The second one is Yabogan Street. And the third one is the bowling club. And it is my opinion the bowling club owned the rights to that shed and electricity, as it was stated some years ago. I don't know any of these for a fact. That's the clarification all I can give you. And who owns what now, and I don't know.
I think also that the hospital is joined into that little shed, because they have raw water.
No, they're down further.
Well, we can only work on what we've got in front of us here at the moment, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like whether he needs to do further homework, or he's relying on council, I feel. But anyway, it's here in front of you, so you want to take a vote on it? All right. The recommendation is that we decline. All those in favour? Those against? I think it's carried. You can, madam. All right. Moving right along. We're into deputations. I don't think we've got none of those have voted in. 11, notice of motion, no, nil. Notice of rescission motions are nil. And working right now to delegates' reports on page 120, 13.1, 2024 National Local Road Transport and Infrastructure Congress. Would someone like to move the recommendation? Councillor Turner. Seconder, Councillor Bartholomew. Right, any questions or dissent when it comes to the delegates' report? If not, all those in favour? Those against, that is carried. Right, now page 122, 13.2, delegates report once again. The recommendation, someone like to move that? Councillor Turner, Councillor Mortimer. Any questions or dissent? If not, all those in favour? Those against, that is carried. Right, correspondence on page 125. 14.1 correspondence. Would someone like to move the recommendation so we can discuss? Councillor Turner, Councillor Bartholomew. Right. It's the first one. Alga, Assembly call for motions. I think any questions on that? The 2025 NGA discussion paper. It's in the letters. The letter to the Office of the Honourable Ryan Park. Any questions there? We're still trying to make that happen.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
You might make a comment on that and I'll say something to you.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. As you'll see in the correspondence, Roy Butler's office has indicated that Ryan Park hasn't refused our invitation to come and visit us. It's just a matter of when it's fitted into his schedule, if it is. So we'll continue to request. It has been, the offer was made that they could try and get an appointment for the Mayor and myself to visit him in his office in Sydney. But given Council were hoping to meet with the Minister, I declined that at this stage and asked that he come to see us.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because I actually had a meeting last week with the General Manager of Western Area, which is Karen Harrison. She works out of Sydney and that sort of thing, and the service here was discussed and that sort of thing, and they want, as someone said, that they were going to try and do a stopgap with a what do you call it, telehealth, until they get someone. But the thing is, like even up in the Three Ts, we're going to lose our physiotherapist by April, so there won't be one attached to that hospital at all. So it is becoming very, very, very difficult. And that sort of thing, but we are tapping on the door and trying to, make it happen. That I think there's a bit more of it that we need somewhere along the line to catch up with Mr. Park and to see where we're going. But we'll just keep trying. All right, is there any further questions? No. Right,
What's the last one?
Museums and galleries.
Museum and galleries. Anything in that? Questions? All those in favour? Those against? That is carried. Righto. Questions, which notice has been given? I haven't got any of those. 16 petitions, so we've got nil. And we're going into closed session. Do you want a 5-minute break before we...
Do you want to move into closed first?
We'll do that. Would someone like to move us into closed session before we have the break? Councillor Bartholomew, Councillor Turner. Oh, the ladies have taken over today. That's good. All those in favour of going into closed session? Yep. Those against? Carried. Right. We'll have a little...
Not yet. We don't want to turn on yet. Not yet.
Ready to go?
I am whenever you are.
All right, when you're ready. All right, recommendations coming out of the closed session, and the first one was 17.1 delegates report, and the mover was Councillor Bartholomew, second was Councillor Mortimer, and the recommendation of that one, the delegates report noted R25.6 be received and noted, and that was carried. Now, report 17.1, offer to purchase lots 16, 20 and 23 in Dunn Street, Condablin, and it was moved by Councillor Phillips, second to Councillor Turner. The recommendation is that one, the General Manager report number R25-24 be received and noted. Two, Council agree to sell lots 16, 20, 23 in Dunn Street, Condablin for to Homes, New South Wales for price indicated in option A of the report. And three, the General Manager engage Council's legal representative to prepare a contract of the sale for the lots 16, 20 and 23. Four, the Mayor and the General Manager be authorised to sign the contracts of the sale of any necessary documents to complete the sale, and that was carried. Now, report number 17.3, tenders assessment, the Albert Road, Balbodnia Creek culvert and replacement. And it was moved, Councillor Phillips, second Councillor Mortimer. The recommendation that one, the Director of Infrastructure Service report number R25-27 be received and noted. And two, the tender submission from Concept Solutions be accepted. Three, the Mayor and General Manager be authorised to execute the contract documents and affix the Council seal, and that was carried. Now, report number 17.4, short-term lease to 2nd of July 2026, part lot 2342 DP 566794105 Hassan's Lane, Condablin, and it was moved. Councillor Turner, second to Councillor Phillips, that the recommendation that one, the Director of Corporate and Community Services report R25-31 be received and noted, and two, the Council provide a licence to Jesse Egberton for the part of lot 2342 DP 566794, approximately 110 thereof payable yearly in advance. The licence agreement will have a short-term rental period until the 2nd of July 2026. An annual CPI increase will apply. A bond equivalent to 2 weeks' rent is required to be paid upon signing the licence agreement. The licensee will also be required to provide a council with a copy of the public liability insurance. The licensee will be provided to maintain the fences in stock-proof condition and to provide an adequate water to stock kept on the licensed land, and that was carried. Now, next one was 17.5, short-term lease of stable 6 SRA grounds, Condablin, and it was moved, Councillor Harris, and second to Councillor Phillips, and the recommendation is that one, the Director of Corporate and Community Services report number R25-32 be received and noted, and two, the Council resolves to offer a short-term licence to Nicole Barry for South Forbes Road Reserve Trust, reserve number R89343, known as a part of lot 7302 DP 1166993, stable 6 SRA grounds, as shown with the red line on the map attached to the short-term licence, as at a licence fee of $35 per week, including GST, plus water consumption for the maximum term of 12 months, a bond of 2 weeks' rent, and a copy of the licensee's public liability insurance is required. The licensee fee is required to be paid annually in advance. And three, the General Manager will be authorised to sign the licence documents, and that was carried. The next report, 17.6, contracts for line
line marking services, and the mover was Councillor Phillips, seconded Councillor Bartholomew. The recommendation that one, the Director of Infrastructure Service report R2535 be received and noted. Two, the Council accept the tender proposals for the supply of line marking services and sign a contract with A, ACT Line Marking Proprietary Limited, B, Gumbo Holdings Proprietary Limited, T dash as advert line marking, C, Central West Line Marking Proprietary Limited, and D, Complete Line Marking Services Proprietary Limited, and three, the Mayor and the General Manager be authorised to sign the contract, the documents, and affix the Council's seal if required, and that was carried. And the next report was 17.7, Tender Assessment Sealed Road Flood Damage Restoration Works for Condobolin North and Tottenham Area. It was moved, moved Councillor Turner, seconded Councillor Rees. The recommendation that one, the Director of Infrastructure Service report number R25-23 be received and noted. Two, the tender of Stable Corp Proprietary Limited for T2024-26 sealed roads for flood damage work for Tottenham Area be accepted. Three, the tenders of Countrywide Ashfield Proprietary Limited for T2024-27 sealed roads flood restoration work Condobolin North be accepted. And four, the Mayor and General Manager be authorised to sign the contract documents and affix the Council seal if required, and that was carried. Page 152, 17.8, update on the donations provided to Killara Cultural and Heritage of Aboriginal Corporation. And the mover is Councillor Phillips, seconded Councillor Mortimer. The recommendation is that one, the Director of Corporate and Community Services report R2536 be received and noted. And two, the Council note the information regarding the donations paid to the Killara Cultural Heritage Aboriginal Corporation, and that was carried. Report number 17.9. Electricity procurement in small markets sites, and the mover was Councillor Phillips and seconded Councillor Harris. And just hang in there with this one. Recommendation that one, the General Manager report number R2515 be received and noted. Two, the Council participates in the regional procurement process facilitated by Central New South Wales Joint Organisation for the Supply and Electricity for Small Market Sites. And three, the Council note the extreme volatility of the energy market currently being experienced. And four, agree to purchase 50% of renewable energy for each site. And five, note the short timeframe for acceptance of the offer for the supply of electricity. Six, resolve that because of the extenuating circumstances set out in the report, a satisfactory result would not be achieved by inviting tenders for the aggregated procurement of electricity for small market sites which are due to commence on the 1st of July 2025. And seven, note that the reasons for the decision of the Council in resolution of six are as follows. A, the service of the respect to which the tenders relates can only be provided by energy retailers. B, Council has received expert advice that due to the nature of the relevant market, offers from those retailers which will be made in response to the request to tender will only be open to the acceptance for the period of 1 to 2 weeks. And C, even if the tender period was shortened to 7 days as permitted under the regulations, some, if not all, of the relevant tenders would expire prior to the Council being able to undertake an assessment of the tenders, report that the matter to Council and resolve to accept or reject any tenders. And D, this would result in Council either having no valid tenders which is able to accept, or it would not be able to consider for acceptance all the tenders lodged in response to the request for tender. E, this would be a satisfactory result for the Council. Eight, delegates, the determination and acceptance of or rejection of proposals on behalf of the Council to the General Manager. Nine, delegate authority for the execution of the contract for the supply of electricity for small sites to the General Manager. 10, receive a further report on the conclusion of the process detailing the outcome. And 11, advise the Central West New South Wales Joint Organisation of this decision. And that was carried. Is that it?
That's it.
And that was the closed session recommendations report. And I think it's now I shall declare the meeting closed.